We've just been singing, "What Child Is This?" That's what our service today is helping us to find out. So may I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you do with your hands when you pray? Probably most of us were taught to put our hands together. It's a gesture a person would make to pay homage to a king or an overlord. And the Lord would put his hands over the top. It was a gesture of submission and obedience as the servant knelt before his master. In the story of the wise men, we are told that they wanted to pay homage to the newborn king. The Greek word includes the action of kneeling or bowing down, and it's often translated simply as worship. The two ideas of homage and worship are closely, very closely linked, for when you worship, you are kneeling, literally or metaphorically, in the presence of God, in submissive recognition of his divine nature and his kingly rule. The wise men also knew that to worship or to pay homage also requires you to offer a gift, and we shall look forward to seeing this variety of gifts that will be forthcoming very shortly. In the Book of Common Prayer, we say to God, "We offer you ourselves, our souls and bodies." That is the offering we make at the Eucharist. The gold of obedience, those things we consider most precious to us. The incense of lowliness in recognition of the holiness and majesty of the one who invites us here in his presence. And the myrrh of our burdens and our sadness. For these too belong to our worship. For worship should never degenerate into mere escapism. Worship and homage both require the offering of service. This is what the feudal lord required from his vassal, and it also is also what we offer to God when, in our everyday lives, we witness in words or in deeds to his truth, to his beauty, his justice and holiness, when we show forth in our lives what we have heard and with our ears, and said and sung with our lips. The manger scene with the wise men, Mary and Joseph, perhaps a few shepherds still, is a picture of the church, the people of God, kneeling in worship around God in our midst. That is what the church is for. She exists so that we can worship the one true and living God. For we worship him in our service. The service that takes place here in the house of the church, and the service that begins the moment we go out through the door. The two are part and parcel of the same thing. Our worship round the altar is what motivates us and it empowers us to go out into the world to love and serve the Lord. This motivation and empowerment is not achieved by preaching, at least not in the sort of commonplace sense of someone droning on about guilt and morals and duty, for that is no longer worship. What true worship should do is to bring us into the presence of wonder and mystery, face to face with the one who is God with us, Emmanuel, born in poverty and dying on a cross between two bandits. Once we participate in this mystery through our worship, we have all the motivation we need to do our duty to the poor and the outcast. For this to happen, our worship needs to be, in the words of a song I remember from various school assemblies I've taken, it talks about offering the best things we can offer. And because it is what the church is for, it is the work of us all, for the church is us. And we are here to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, to kneel and adore him forever and ever. Amen.